So good morning. We're going back on the record again. It's February 9th, 2017, and we're moving on to the next agenda item, which is a seafood culch and oyster cultivation proposal. And your name for the record.
My name is Steve Heacock. I'm a senior planner with the Department of Community Development.
And you swear to tell the truth today.
I do. Thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Steve Heacock. I'm one of the planners for the Department of Community Development. We're looking at a shoreline substantial development permit today for the operation of a seafood culch and single oyster cultivation project for the Suquamish tribe. And today what we'd like to do is just verify we've gone through all of our review requirements. We have done so. There's been proper noticing. We've received a few letters of concern that we've rolled into the staff report, and then we will address those toward the end of this presentation as well. There's one additional letter. So at this time, we have in the written record items 1 through 14, which is inclusive of the staff report, and 2 interested party letters. So those are items 1 through 14. This presentation I would like to add in the record, which is a PowerPoint presentation with a few slides. We'll bring that in.
Okay. Now I've reviewed those exhibits 1 through 14, and I will add all of those exhibits 1 through 15 to the record.
Excellent. And just a couple of days ago, we had a staff reassignment on this project kind of toward the end of the project. And as such, there was a, where is this? Here we go. There was a communication understanding with our staff report the lead on the project, which was Lisa Lewis, and a person that had been in conversation with Ms. Lewis had just recently provided an additional email to us. So that is from a Shelley Leonard, and she's a neighbor or a nearby neighbor to this project. So I'd like to take a little bit of time just to put this in the record.
Okay.
As a new interested party.
So that'll be Exhibit 16 then?
Yes.
Okay, that's admitted.
Okay, so let's just kind of go over the project itself. Again, substantial development permits are essentially administratively approved in the final form after our review and after a positive hearing examiner outcome to the Department of Ecology, and they have the opportunity to review that application, but typically there's no action taken other than it's recorded from Department of Ecology standpoint. Just for the record, we've got we've received, again, a couple of comments. We did ask the tribe to address those comments, and we have done so under exhibit number 12, and the tribe had some really good recommendations. They have an excellent management plan for the operation itself. It's a very comprehensive operational plan that will also be reviewed by the Army Corps of Engineers, because one of the ultimate permits, again, from going through this procedure is Army Corps approval through a nationwide permit process. And the tribe is in process with that right now. So let's get to it. This project is located on the old tribal center, which is at 15838 Sandy Hook Road. It's in Polsbo. It's an unincorporated Kitsap County area. The shoreline is Puget Sound shoreline. And it's actually Port Orchard Bay is the location of the project itself. The zoning map here shows that the parcel is zoned tribal. I've got the layer there showing that. It kind of extends over into where you'd actually see it says tribal. But
yeah, there, and the reservation area boundary just goes just to the above the shore. Or the high, is it at the high watermark? I know the beach is
yes,
outside the reservation.
Yeah, that's right. So in the full Port Madison reservation boundary, which is the Suquamish tribe's boundary, I should have included a boundary map, but we did take a look at this. These parcels are tribally owned. If you go to the south of here, it is the tribal jurisdiction where there are no county permits required for any kind of action. So this is one of those situations where we have a shoreline use that is proposed that's within the aquatic zone.
Right.
And so as it's in the aquatic zone, we have to do a substantial development permit process for any new shellfish growing operations. Now, gooey ducks are excluded from that particular requirement by state statute. Mm-hmm. But in this case, for growing oysters and I believe little neck clams and things like that would also require a shoreline substantial development permit. So here we have, again, the tribal boundary. This is the area of the project. The Colch and shellfish growing operation will be located out here in the shoreline. And I have some aerial photos to show that as well. The shoreline designation up and down the shoreline is shoreline residential. Okay. Here is the critical area map. You'll see that this whole site is within a flood zone. There's on the ground level, a stream that comes out here. It is a fish type stream on our maps, on the county maps, and this fresh water does come and transmit from up and across highway. This is Highway 305, which goes from Polsbo to Bainbridge Island. And I have a zoomed out version here that we can take a look at here in a second. Again, a fish type stream is really the only critical area component, which in shellfish operations is not a buffer situation, nor is the flood zone. Here's an aerial from the Department of Ecology's aerial photo set, 2006. And this shows the tribal center. In 2006, this was the tribal center until they built the new center just up on Miller Bay Road, just up the road from here. And so here's this is where this little building is where their current fishery center is, if you will, their commercial part of the activity here. You'll see this little trace, that's where the stream comes through and the stream transmits down from the slope and then comes out here. It's not a very big stream. As you see, it just sort of traces back behind. And this is a photo showing the low water. You can also see right through here in this trace, this is some of the eelgrass beds that were identified in their environmental assessment, in And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Here's a zoomed out view that kind of helps a little bit with identifying a little bit better where this is located. Just to the north and off site here, here's Highway 305. And if you just continue up just above the photo is the bridge to Bainbridge Island. So that's the Highway 305 bridge just above there. And then this is the kind of the Suquamish cut, if you will, for lack of a better word, where there's some pretty strong tides that roll through there because it narrows. And then again, this is the facility. Here's the stream that comes out. You'll see the little stream trace here as it comes into the shoreline. And again, this is a lower tide photo. You can see just off the site here the eelgrass beds that are nearby here. And to zoom in a little better here, here's again the tribal center. This is the plan map itself of the operation. This is where the new shellfish beds will be located. And they're just off of the tribal land here, as you can see, right off, straight off the site. We can see here in the diagonal green dashed line, it's a little bit hard to see here, but this is the native eelgrass. So these are the eelgrass beds. This crosshatched line here is the actual buffer area. That's outside of the eelgrass beds themselves. And the biological evaluation, you know, we did look at that very carefully in relation to this particular shellfish operation. And there will be no impacts planned, nor will the impacts be detrimental to the eelgrass when we install these features. I'm going to go over the features here in just a second. But there's no impacts expected, and in fact, this zone is about a 16 foot wide at its narrowest point, narrowest location to the eelgrass beds themselves. And this was mapped. This eelgrass bed itself was very carefully mapped and identified as to where that is. So we do not expect to see any kind of eelgrass impacts related to the operation. Here's a sketch. Well, not a sketch. It's the layout, if you will, of the actual oyster rack rows. And I'm going to ask the applicant to kind of go over this in a little bit more detail, but I wanted to show this in the aerial or in the slide view just to indicate how they're going to attach these. There will be bags that will be attached onto these crossbars, and the crossbars are vinyl. They're made of vinyl, so they're not, you know, a painted surface or anything like that. Nor is any pressure-treated wood allowed in any of these, any of this application. And it's a very simple configuration that basically floats up and down. So this material floats up and down. And as the tidal action hits the bags of oysters, and there's roughly 200 oysters in each bag, they flip. It's a flip-flop sort of mm-hmm. procedure that provides the food source, if you will, for the small oysters as they grow. So that's that part of the project. You see right here. Here's the bag. The bag then is located on a string set here, and that's. I had that view a little bit better.
I had a question. This may be more for the applicant.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference between a colch and then the single oyster.
Yeah, the colch, as I understand, the colch is going to be bags of oysters set on a pallet that then gets inundated with water and then drops down. The single oyster is in this, like this drawing right here. It's in a large bag of 200 oysters, and then they are hung on this string, and the string is pinned into the substrate with these helical anchors. And then so the helical anchors are into the substrate. There's real no impact into the shoreline bed itself other than the anchors are in place there. So we don't expect to see any impacts to the eelgrass. Eelgrass is the primary focus here in relation to environmental concerns, because eelgrass beds are those areas where we have food forage fish that the salmon fry rely on. Once the salmon fry emerge from their creeks, they're actually they actually come into the shoreline, interact with the shoreline, and they predate on the food forage fish. And so they're a critical, it's a critical component of fisheries. So the biological evaluation that we reviewed went over that in great detail, and the resultant review also of the operational plan as well was something that we looked over very, very carefully and did concur with in our findings. This is a aerial representation of the proposal. Here we have -2 foot mean lower low water, and here's the +2 foot mean lower low water. So as we're looking at this, it's kind of flopped over on the side. The shoreline is to the bottom of the page, if you will, with the +2 here, and then the -2 is more of a squiggly line, and that's based on the required buffer and also the offset for those eelgrass beds that we talked about. So this is kind of a representation of how those individual features that we just saw are going to be pinned into the substrate. Each one of these points right here is where a stake is placed in the substrate as you go across. And then there'll be a space in between so that they can access, the tribal members will be able to access down into each one of these bays. So there's several of these bays, and we're talking about, you know, a pretty good sized area. There's almost 3 acres of total substrate, if you will, in between this -2 to +2 in the mean lower low designation. That area is the extent of the project. In fact, if we pop back here, again, here's the tribal center. Here's the small building that they do much of their existing shell. There are shellfish that are out here right now, but they're just natural shellfish that are growing out here. And then little neck and butter clams as well that are out here in this flat. And if you'll see this area that's stippled here, that's the entire operating area, roughly 3 acres. Let's see. And then I also wanted to show, this is an aerial, this is a photo taken by the tribe from the beach itself, looking up toward the tribal, the old tribal center. And so you'll see the cobble, and, you know, it's just absolutely perfect environment for growing oysters on. Oysters require, when they're seeded, they require this cobbly kind of substrate, gravel and cobble, for them to affix to. Here is a view of some of the tribal members that are out here, and they're digging This is a photo of them digging butter clams. There's butter clams out here in the bay. Oops. So that's it. So I wanted to go over real quickly then the letter, this recent letter that was received. I've had just a little bit of time to go over it, but I thought I might kind of hit the highlights of this and have a quick discussion here about it, and also want to bring in the tribe to take a look at this as well. And I think my phone just beeped, so that perhaps they've arrived. I hope so. Let me go over that here real quick. Yeah, I think that's it. Good. The aquatic designation is an extremely comprehensive review. We've got a 34-page staff report to go through the analysis that's required for a shellfish operation like this. So it's pretty comprehensive how we had reviewed this particular application in relation to the aquaculture proposal here. I'm just flipping through my staff report so I can find that portion. We talk about the tribal interaction here. Hang on just a sec. Here we go. Here's the memo here in relation to this one of the primary responses. If I go over the letter itself, this new letter really is also talking about the same concerns that some of the neighbors had in relation to this project. It's more of the visual aspect of the project and it's you know, what is going to be done to kind of, you know, mitigate for that visual impact. Obviously, you know, the shellfish area is a 3-acre area that's located just off the beach, if you will. And there are neighbors up and down that are nearby. But I wanted to bring home one of the points that the tribe had addressed, in that the visual impact will be more so at the lower tides and those lower tide events. You know, there will be some visual impacts, but we believe those visual impacts will be moderate. The tribe has also committed to not having a brightly colored, you know, floats and things like that as part of the project. They'll make every attempt to provide some visual continuity, if you will, for the project. So we did look at that and address that. And the other aspect that people were concerned with was about noise. Now, in a gooey duck operation, noise is often a consideration only because there are, you know, small boats or rafts that are used, and there are compressors because a diver is typically used, and the compressor obviously makes noise, and you can only do that at lower t- or excuse me at higher tide events, and so often there's use in the winter and things like that that we see as being problematic for noise impacts. But we're not looking at a gooey duck operation. We're looking at doing oyster operation here, and it really is fairly quiet. One of the things that the tribe had asked for in their operational plan is that they do have what's called a gator, which is a two axle, and some of them are three axle, kind of a buggy, if you will. Usually they're four wheel drive, and they are proposing using those, but just during daylight hours. So, you know, obviously something like that would have headlights if it were on at night. That might be an issue for the neighboring public and things like that. But one of the other things in the operational plan talks about mostly the activity will be used to maintain the facility, and there'll be the use of the gators only during daylight hours. So that's one of the situations. The other is that most of the activity is going to be just hand installation of the whole facility itself. There's not going to be a lot of impacts. All those operations, when they install the facility, will be done during the day at the lower tide elevations. So the impacts for noise and things like that will be very minimal only during the installation. The actual operation, if they need to do work during harvesting points and things like that, if they need to do work at night, they just have individual headlamp lights that will be used. There won't be any big bright flashlights or spotlights or anything like that. It's not necessary. So that's also in the operational plan. And all of the components of the operational plan we reviewed for the issues that were brought forth in these letters. And we don't see that there's going to be offsite impacts other than a minor visual to the change at lower tides. Those lower tide issues will be moderated for sure. And then the tribe is committed to be a good neighbor in relation to this visual aspect. And so it's going to look comprehensive. It's not going to be a mishmash of if that's a technical term, of materials and things like that. Yeah, it'll look uniform. So, yeah. And I think that also included as Exhibit 12 is a really good response that the tribe had put together. And county staff, staff planner Lisa Lewis, had asked the tribe because of the concerns that came in relation to neighbors and views and things like that. One thing in the staff report was from one particular neighbor that was not able to get a shoreline permit for a dock. I wanted to show here that particular neighbor. I think here's the site.
Yeah, they weren't adjacent.
I believe the neighbor is up here, and they do have a dock. What their proposal was an extension of the dock. And as you can see in the eelgrass, it is kind of hard to tell in this photo. But if you'll look, what they had wanted to do was extend their dock into the eelgrass. So it wasn't so much a tribal denial of an application, but in this proposal to extend this private recreational dock, it would have been in eelgrass beds, and it really is not possible. The interaction that we require for an applicant for a dock itself is to go through the Army Corps review process first. before they apply here at Kitsap County for a major dock extension project like this. And in this particular case, they had done so, and the tribe had commented to the Army Corps and said, you know, well, this is our shellfish, or is, excuse me, our an accustomed fishing area that's in this deeper water bay right here. And so with the normal and accustomed fishing rights, the tribe had successfully argued that this dock should not be approved. And therefore,
that's the dock you can see in the photo.
Yeah, it's right here, I think, is the dock. Yeah, I believe so. So anyway, we did take a look at that as well, and I think that the tribe did a really good job of analyzing that concern. But I wanted to bring that home, that it wasn't just because the tribe didn't want that dock in relation to their fishing rights, but that it would be an environmental problem in and of itself. And you know, you'll probably want to just take a quick look through this additional email from Ms. Leonard in relation to it. Her concerns were also based on what's the feature going to look like, she did have a question about. You know, if there were going to be oyster piles and things like that, and I didn't believe there'd be any aspect of big piles of oysters. She had mentioned similar to the Tidelands and Purdy. Well, that's a different shellfish operation, and I believe that's Taylor Shellfish down south there in Purdy, and it's a different kind of operation. This is not going to have big piles of oysters laying around. It's more so for the cultivation and not so much about, about the shellfish collection. In this particular case, the shellfish collection will occur down the road. And when that collection happens, the tribe has a facility off-site. So the shellfish will be collected and then moved to a processing facility that they have off-site. And I think what I might do is let the applicant who's arrived talk about that here in just a second. But in closing, I wanted to say that in the analysis, we really were very careful about understanding the full impacts, both visual noise and light glare, and we felt that those impacts would be minimal. The fact of the matter is, the operation of this magnitude, a 3-acre site, is absolutely the right of the tribe to be able to do this kind of operation, and they've adequately mitigated in our review aspect of the current code, and we do find that it's acceptable, and we do recommend approval of the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heacock. Is the applicant here for the shoreline substantial development permit? Great. Did you all want to provide some additional comment, or would you like to take a brief recess and to touch base with staff? There was one new comment, a written comment that came into the record, which I've admitted. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to take a look at that.
It just came in.
Why don't we take a 5-minute recess, and that way you can take a quick look at that letter. So after that recess, we'll hear from the applicant, and then if anyone's here from the public to testify, we'll let them testify. So I think maybe a 5-minute recess.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll go off the